Many years ago, in Montreal City, there was a great emptiness, without any kind of sound, without any kind of harmony, without any kind of voice. Only a hideous monster, the monster of the silence, and his horrible laughing. The crew monster had been covered the mouth of every citizen from Montreal with a lot of stronger species of masking tape in order to keep quiet any opinion or disagreement. The Black Hand Productions presents The Seven Warriors, the battle for the voice of the voiceless.
In 1987, those seven warriors, most of them volunteers, without any kind of payment, found an effective weapon against the monster. They worked for a Buell community radio station, CKUT 90.3 FM, which waves destroyed the monster of the silence. The malefic creature couldn't resist a community radio station with intelligence radio shows, truthful and impartial news, excellent music programming, and the most important.
CKUT is a community radio station that right now is the voice of the voiceless.
The monster died 20 years ago. And today the Montrealers have a democratic media communication, which one, they can express their opinions in complete freedom, without any piece of masking tape in their mouths.
Nowadays, other seven warriors are taking care of CKUT, but without the over of 200 volunteers working, it's impossible to be on air.
Do you want to be a volunteer in CKUT?
Yes, of course, you want.
Don't forget the battle for the voice of the voiceless. Never ending. And remember, a new monster of the silence could be live, and he would likes to put a stronger pieces of masking tape in our mouths.
One thing we've all learned from COVID-19 is that something small can spread quickly, like a ripple. If enough of us do our part by getting vaccinated, we can start a wave. A wave of Canadians helping each other return to the people and places we love. We can all help by getting vaccinated. Learn more at canada.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Government of Canada.
Le Festival International de Nuit d'Afrique, presented by TD Bank, invites you to their 35th anniversary this summer. Join us for this world music event, a 13-day celebration from July 6th to the 18th. This innovative edition takes place in venues, outdoors, and online, a fusion of past and present, rich in history and in new musical discoveries. Discover the surprises. For more information and tickets, go to festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Did you get vaccinated?
Not yet, but I will soon.
And which one are you getting?
I'm getting the dance vaccine.
The dance vaccine? Great idea.
Yeah, rehearsing with the girls is what I miss the most.
Well, it's going to be the soccer vaccine for me. I can't wait to see the gang again.
Each vaccination brings us closer to these moments. Follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Let me see you touch yourself. Do you mind if I watch? Don't you take your eyes off mine? Do you mind if I touch? Yeah, your body's aching. You're a freak, yeah, girl, you're just like me. There's no place that you would rather be than right here with me. Right here, right here. Right here with me.
Like a really touch me, touch me.
Sex in 2020. In 2020 to bring you whipping chain. Cause I want to try new things.
Stop.
And don't you try to set me free. Cause I'm down to be bound.
Yes, 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 it's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm in the building with...
Renee Jordan.
And joining us on the air is Stephen Voice, someone I've known for a good long time. He's an artist, and I'm just going to go through his bio, a part of his bio, really, really quickly. There are five things you need to know about Stephen. He's a vegetarian that's unnaturally terrified of spiders, obsessed with Batman. Michael Jackson is his idol, but most importantly, he believes that everyone deserves to live out their dreams. In many ways, that almost naive ideology is the cornerstone of his charm. It is what makes him so hopeful. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on the air during
this quasi-pandemic.
Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. But thank you for having me. I'm super stoked to be here. So, yeah.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Like, I met you many, many, many years ago. You were an engineer at the time that was also doing video recording and editing. We met at a modeling thing at the La Piscine, I think it was called.
Or that big empty pool
that they did modeling and concerts and stuff in. And now you're a musical artist. You're a singer-songwriter.
So, yeah, I guess you know what it is.
I know the basics, and then we ended up having mutual friends, and we just kept on connecting over the years.
Yeah.
So you're a Canadian Nigerian artist.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. Have we had you on the air before?
I have been. Yeah. I don't actually, you know, honestly, it's been so long.
It's been a long time.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
or
been
three,
a while.
Actually.
No, it may have been more because we had a 2 year pandemic almost.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. But yeah, I mean, who am I? So, I mean, I was born in Nigeria. I'm part Canadian. I have German blood. I grew up in a family as a Nigerian. I grew up in a family where there are only three professions. You know, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer.
Right.
So I had no choice but to go and choose one of those. So I ended up studying electrical engineering in school and following that passion. Don't get me wrong, it's something I'm actually very passionate about. I do love math. I'm a math geek. But behind all of that, there's this love and passion for music that was cultivated by my mom, to be honest. Mm-hmm. She grew up listening. She listened to Michael Jackson religiously. And I would listen to her listening to Michael Jackson, and I would listen to him and just want to be like him. I just wanted to be able to make music and just make the crowd just feel everything that I was feeling like he would. Like, he can make people essentially faint just by his emotions and his music, and I wanted to do that. So I followed that. It was luckily I was born with a voice. I was able to sing, and I just kind of kept singing, you know, to myself and in front of the mirror. But I didn't really take it seriously, to be honest. I just kind of did it as something I could do. But when my mom passed years ago now, music was the only thing that helped me get through that. I turned to it as a way to write about my feelings and my pain. And to be honest, that's where Stephen Voice was born. I was born from that need to remove that hurt that was inside of me, and I started sharing that with the world, and people resonated with it, and it made me realize that this gift that I have could serve more than just something I could do, but it could be something that could bring people together. So yeah, that's where Stephen Voice was born.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Like, so aside from Michael Jackson music, what other musical influences that you have?
Yeah, I mean, there's the obvious ones, you know, obviously Michael Jackson, like you said, Prince was a big influence. Also Justin Timberlake. And I feel like essentially all the artists that kind of were derivative in many ways of Michael Jackson and Prince are people that I resonated with, because they also kind of were born from him. Yeah. I like to call us all children of Michael. Mm-hmm. And Prince, you know, Justin Timberlake, The Weeknd, artists like that, you know, and myself, we're all kind of derogative of, but there was a derivative of these two artists. But one artist that I've really been a massive fan of since the get-go, and is completely outside of the genres I just mentioned, is Eminem. I've just been a huge, massive fan of M, just because he's made music so unapologetically about who he is and his life over the years, and I felt like every single album he released, you got a snapshot into his life at the time. So whether or not you liked it or didn't like it, you were getting this person, the real version of him, always. Yeah. And I just love the fact that he brought you into his art, and it's something that I wanted to be able to do in my music. So he's been a massive influence.
Nice.
And would you say that you are sort of like the dancer that Michael Jackson, like, is that part of what you do, or is it more so the sound that you sort of emulate a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like the I wouldn't say that, like, I've always could dance, uh-huh. And I feel like that move, that, you know, that just natural just swag that goes with the music is just there. I feel like you can't sing with that kind of pizzazz without kind of inheriting some of the moves. Like, I'm not gonna go out there and do moonwalks and stuff like that. I mean, I could, but I'm not gonna do it. But like, when I do perform, I do bust out a few moves, because it just feels this, it's a natural progression. And actually, in a lot of the music videos I'm starting to do now, and we're working on, I've been working with a choreographer named Sarah Steven, and I want to get more and more into that, actually, into just dancing and incorporating dance into my music, but also being front and center and doing so myself. So yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm like a dancer like Mike, but I definitely have it in my blood to be able to do that at some point. So yeah.
Nice. And how would you say that you're living the dream? Because you said, you mentioned in your bio that living the dream, or living out your dreams, is a way of life. How are you living the dream?
I'm just being myself completely in every way. At no point, like, before my artist name was just Voice. It wasn't Stephen Voice. I had removed my first name from my art and just kind of had a separate entity. And it was like Voice was the musician and Stephen was everything else. And I kind of felt weird, because over time people would just refer to me as Voice, like Voice. And it felt like they were talking about someone else. Like, it was
like, who's Voice?
Like, who is this person? who's the other person you're talking about? I'm Stephen. And then it just became clear to me that I wanted to bridge that gap, to not be this person here and then this person another day, but to be who I am in all ways, all the time. So bringing Stephen into my artist name as Stephen Voice makes it so that I walk around now, and people go like, oh my God, Stephen, I love your music. And it's just like, yes, it's all me. So I'm always being myself. I'm always being the artist. I'm always being the geek. I'm always being the math whiz. I'm always being the engineer, the gamer. All of it is me all the time. So just by allowing myself to be all that I am, without reserve, is my way of living my dream.
All right. So you're a vegetarian. Was this by design? Like, this is how you grew up, or this is something that you decided to do later on in life?
No, I did not grow up as a vegetarian. I know my dad was not very happy when I became a vegetarian. It's like,
why is it that, like, our parents are always like, "What are you gonna eat?
Huh? Why are you doing this? What is the matter with you?" That was my dad was definitely not happy about me becoming a vegetarian. Because, like, again, I grew up a lot of my life in Nigeria, and in Nigeria, like, eating meat's like a big part of it. Like, yeah. And I as a kid, I was a massive carnivore. Like, mm-hmm. I ate a lot of meat. And then, you know, when I came to Canada at that point, it's years ago now.
How old were you when you came to Canada?
I came a few times. Like, when I was a kid, I came when I was maybe 8 or so for like 2 years. And because my mom was, you know, was born in Canada, so I had. Have the dual citizenship, so we came back and forth. And but I came back to live in Canada when I was about 16. Okay. And from that point on, I said it's been a long time now. And but when I came, you know, anyway, so I had visited just some farms around, and I just saw the way animals were treated.
Okay.
You know, and it just I couldn't get behind it. So I decided, in that moment, I decided that I wanted to be a vegetarian so long as I was in the eastern side of the world, like the eastern world, right. Like in Canada and, you know, all that stuff. But I said when I go back to Nigeria, because I, you know, I felt that the way animals were treated, they were more humane, I would eat meat. But then when I visited Nigeria after years of being a Canadian, I just couldn't, the idea of eating meat wouldn't work with me. Like my body, like my whole physiology rejects that idea. So now I just can't eat meat. So yeah, I've been a vegetarian for a long time now, and it's definitely not something I was born into. It's more like of a moral decision that I made, right. For myself,
right. And that seems to be a more like popular it seems to be the trend now in terms of just people in general. There's more vegan vegetarian options, there's more of that just readily available. Tell us about this fear of spiders. Fear of spiders. And especially like you're Nigerian, and like there is a spider god, Udide, in yeah. Nigerian culture. So like, why would you be afraid of spiders? Like,
because why do you need 8 legs? Like, why do you need that many legs? Like, I think I have a match. Like, I think I draw the line at insects, you know, because I'm like 6 legs. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, that's 2 extra legs from most bipedal animals. So I can get behind that. You got 2 extra, cool.
Yeah.
Spider has 8. They're just like, why do you need 8 legs? And then anything beyond that, like centipedes and like millipedes and all that stuff, I'm just like, you don't need so many legs. Like, was there like a legs like giveaway or something? Like, what happened? So yeah, no, I can't. It's for me, and spiders is the way they move. It's just a very just like everything is like,
yeah, the legs, they move also slow, and all of a sudden they're speeding up and you don't know,
yeah. and they're fast and I read somewhere, and I don't know if what I read was right or wrong, but from what I read, spiders are the only, I'm going to call them just bugs, they're not insects, but I'm going to call them bugs.
Arachnids.
Arachnids, but like they're the only small little, whatever you call them, that are fully aware of where your face is. So when you're looking at a spider, it knows you're looking at it. Like, unlike a grasshopper or
this
whatever.
This is a new level then.
Yeah, this is
I didn't know this before.
Yeah, so when a spider comes down and suddenly stops because you're looking at it, it's not because it felt something. It knows you turn around and you saw it. And then when you turn away and it scutters away, it knows that it had an opportunity to get away. So that is way too smart of a creature with 8 legs to be running around in my house.
So you're for the treatment of all animals be treated well except spiders. Spiders gotta go.
You know, like, You know, they do gotta go. I won't kill them. That's the thing. I cannot kill a spider. So when there's a spider in my house, first of all, I have a panic attack. And then after composing myself, I get some tissue and I get it out of the house. But the whole time, the fear of God is just coursing through my soul, because I'm just worried that, like, I'm gonna get to the front door and try and toss it out, and it's not gonna be in the tissue paper, and I'm gonna realize it's somewhere on me, and then I'm not ready for that. So yeah, spiders, house centipedes, millipedes, whatever you wanna call them, that's a no for me. That's a pass. It's a hard pass.
So the urban life alone is for you. You're not gonna be living in a country house at any point in time in your life.
If I do end up living in a country house, it's gonna be so bug proof. It's gonna be so bug proof.
Bug proof. I don't know if that's possible.
I'll find a way.
I don't even know if you can perform on an outdoor stage that is bug proof.
I'm gonna find a way. I'm gonna find a way, and I'll make it happen. If I have to hire people to run around to, like, surveillance the house looking for bugs, I'm gonna do that. It's gonna be like my job is to look for bugs because Steven's weird. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I make $2,000 a week just looking for arachnids.
No, yeah, can't deal with that. Wow. Can't deal with that.
That
well,
is...
all things eight legs aside. Let's get back a little bit into the music that is Steven. Part of your showmanship. I always wonder this, because, you know, some people, they get onto a stage, or we see people like The Weeknd, and they have like a certain look towards them, and you have your own look. Is it something that, you know, you came up with for the purpose of making yourself stand out in a crowd, or was it just something that came to you naturally?
I think that 100% of everything I do, kind of, I fell into it. Like, this hair situation. So when I started growing out my hair, it was around the same time that The Weeknd was kind of coming out, and his hair was growing at the same time. And I did not know who The Weeknd was. I had no idea who The Weeknd was. I just knew that, you know, people would stop me and be like, "Oh, The Weeknd," and I'd be like, "It is The Weeknd. It's Saturday, so thank you." And I was just like, "I don't know why you're confirming with me that it's Saturday, but it is, man." But then I realized, like, oh, there's this artist that has very similar hair to me. And then people started asking me if I had decided to model my hair after his, because he was getting bigger and bigger as an artist. And uh-huh. I was just like, I wish I could say the answer to that as yes, but not even at all. It was just one of those things where, again, as a Nigerian, I grew up where I was told, especially when living in, you know, in Canada and, you know, in like North American countries, that in order for me to fit in, I had to conform. And the only way to conform as a black person in a predominantly white culture, apparently, is to cut your hair and keep it short.
Yeah.
To make other people comfortable. Like, what? And then for a long time, I just did it because I thought that's what I had to do. I have to cut my hair, because if I don't do that, like, you know, some dude is going to have a heart attack because he saw wild hair. Yeah. And then one day I was just like, I just want to let my hair grow. I want to see what happens. Like, okay. I was just generally curious to see what happens if my hair grows. And I'm also, when it comes to my hair, I'm super lazy. So I let it grow, but I didn't do all the maintenance, like combing it out and all that stuff. I just kind of let it do its thing. And then one day it just started to form these little micro dreads. I didn't pay attention to them, but my friends did start to notice it. And they told me, like, "Oh, your hair is, you know, creating colonies." And I was like, "Oh." And then that's it. And over time, they just bunched together. They turned into this thing. And then at some point, I realized, hey, this is a structure. It's an art installation on my head.
Right.
And it's growing and it's doing its own thing. And ever since then, I've just let it happen. And I've, oddly enough, it's made me feel much more proud of being an African. As a black person, there's a pride, because when I was a kid, all the cool kids were all the, you know, and this is not a race thing. I have nothing against white people. I my girlfriend's white, but like as a kid, it was always like, oh, the cool kids are the ones with the cool white hair. Like, you know, like the DiCaprio and all that stuff. They had the cool hair, and then only they could do the cool hair.
Right.
And then now I'm seeing more and more black people, and we have such diverse hair. Our hair can do so many crazy different things. And, you know, now when I walk by and I walk by another black person, they're all like, yo, respect, love your hair. It's just like, I feel proud because it's like we're connected and we're just like, yo, I see you. And I'm like, yo, I see you too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. And I'm sure it helps in the artist world in terms of making you stand out, like immediately, like, okay, yeah, I remember that guy or I remember that person. Like I find, with black people sort of embracing, you know, their different textures, their different way their hair is or way it grows, we all have a different way of looking that we no longer have to, you know, melt into the pot or be the same as everybody else. You know, we have our own identity to live out. And I think that's pretty cool in terms of you merging, you know, everything of your life all together in terms of your music, your love of science and technology. And does that love of science, technology, and math sort of incorporate itself into your music at all, or?
Absolutely. Like I've always been able to see the dichotomy, I hope that's the right word, between music specifically actually and math, because it is math. At the end of the day, it's math. You're crunching numbers, you're running like patterns. That's math at its core. Like when you're creating a catchy song, you may not necessarily know it, but like to make you're kind of pushing into a math formula of like, yeah, that's the formula for catchiness, so to speak. Yeah. So I always incorporate it as someone that studied electrical engineering, and I did signal analysis in university. So now when I'm mixing my music and I'm playing with the frequencies, I it's not just, you know, trying to do something because that's what everyone else is doing. It's also I understand what I'm doing, and I'm manipulating these frequencies, and it's really cool. Like the nerd in me gets like excited when I'm making music. So I'm just like, oh, I know what this is in the school. I did this, and you know, it's just really cool. So yeah, I'm always mixing all the worlds, putting them all together, because I feel that's the beauty of life. It's taking everything that you are and just kind of finding out that there are dots that connect, you know, one to the next. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, we are talking to Stephen Voice, who has had a wonderful trajectory, Nigerian-Canadian, Nigerian-born, came to Canada, did the traditional made a choice between one of three jobs, doctor, lawyer, and engineer, and then decided to transition as a way of healing and coping with healing, as well as remembrance, because his mother passed away several years ago, but music was something that they shared a lot of, and so as a way of healing and growing closer to, if I dare say, your mom in a way, transitioned into becoming a musician. We are going to take a quick break and come back to you. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. If you do, then I swear you belong. If you love me, then baby, come show me that you love me with your heart. Let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in. You're so beautiful. Yeah, you're so beautiful. Girl, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. There's no room in my place, but I made some. And I'm painting your face in a song. If they run, let them run, I'm not worried. You're the only one I want. Let me in, 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 let me in. You're so beautiful. Yeah, you're so beautiful. Girl, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. I felt your love, oceans apart. How many days till
night is getting too deep. Live your life in a dream like you walk in your sleep. So afraid that I'm trying to hold you back. So you run away when you feel that it's getting too deep. Why can't you see that I'm not trying to fix you? Why don't you see that I'm not trying to fix you? Run away when you feel that it's getting too deep. Live your life in a dream like you walk in your sleep. So afraid that I'm trying to hold you back. So you run away when you feel that it's getting too deep. Why can't you see that I'm not trying to fix you? Why don't you see?
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back once again. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We have on the air with us Stephen Voice, who is a Canadian-Nigerian-born artist who had a very, very interesting trajectory. Earlier on, we were talking to him about having been born in Nigeria and deciding to get into music, and we're talking about hair. And if you've ever seen Stephen Royce, you'll notice a little bit of a similarity to The Weeknd. But I want to just say that hair takes a long time to grow, especially black hair takes a long time to grow and form, and Stephen has dreads and he has a very particular style. I feel like there's no way you could have emulated The Weeknd, because you've had your hair for quite some time.
And yeah, it would have been impossible.
Yeah, there's no way for you to say, "Oh yeah, let me do what he does," because he has his hair and you have your hair, and that's just about it. We were also talking earlier about how music and math, which is one of your passions, because you are an engineer. And I'm guessing you didn't just do engineering; you actually really enjoyed it, from what I understand. How math and music kind of go hand in hand together. DJ Sirius used to be our DJ, and he used to talk to me a lot about frequency, and you mentioned frequency, about how music resonates with people and how the frequency affects the crowd. So he and I would have long discussions about, you know, the crowd would start to get rowdy and then he'd play a certain kind of music with a certain kind of frequency and he would see the crowd kind of mellow out and just start enjoying that. Do you take that into consideration, how your music will affect a crowd or will move them emotionally on a frequency level? Is that something that you contemplate, and how do you incorporate that into your work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the frequency, the BPM, all of that plays like such an intrinsic part into what kind of emotion you're trying to convey. So like, for example, if you want to make people dance and, you know, and just have a good time, there's a higher chance of playing a faster song that's going to hit that quick rhythm. It's going to get them kind of doing that. It's going to get them wanting to move. And then you can decide, do you want them to feel happy? If you want them to feel happy, you're going to start playing around with some of the higher frequencies, because like you hit those like high melodies and people feel like, ooh, I'm floating. And then if you want to get them feeling like, you know, like, yeah, you're going to hit those deeper frequencies, those lower frequencies. So I'm always fully aware of that. And I use that as part of my strategies when I'm doing shows, depending on the length of the show. So if I'm doing a really long show, I tend to mix it up where I'll have like, you know, songs that are going to kind of have a crescendo effect, or if I want them to go up, people feel good and then drop them, I can do that. But if I'm doing a shorter show and I want to get to the point and get people like going like, yo, who's that, real quick. Like if I'm a featured artist in someone's show and I have like two songs to get people to to go, who is that guy? I need to follow him and, you know, go with his music. I'm going to probably stick with the faster BPM songs because I know that those are the songs that are going to click on them really, you know, quicker than the rest. And it all just plays a part in how you want to kind of hook people in, what your accomplishment, what your goal is.
Mm-hmm. So what do these songs sound like? Like, we're going to hear your music on the air, but
yeah.
Tell us a bit about, like, what are some of your songs and how have they affected people that have listened to them?
Yeah, so, I mean, before I actually changed my name to Stephen Voice from Voice, my music was, like, you know, again, I was talking back then, it was a lot about healing the pain that was inside of me, so my songs were a lot more somber. There was a lot of heaviness in them because I was trying to convey a lot of emotion, or I was trying to remove the emotion in me and put them into some sort of bottle, so to speak, and have them be released.
Right.
But then the first mainstream song I did, you know, back in 2017 that came out in 2018 is Summerlust. And that was like my throwback to the Michael Jackson, Steven, you know, like, it's like a very like dancey MJ, almost, you know, Prince fusion of music. And that's very funk inspired. And a lot of my music has like a funk element behind it. But a lot of my songs also are highly emotional, and I like to play with that. I like to go back and forth because I don't want to be known as an artist that makes only one kind of song, because I will get bored. If all my songs were the same, I'd be like, why am I even doing this anymore? Right. Like, I want, and I'm also one of those people that is very emotional. So a lot of my songs, I usually don't choose the song I want to make. It's the song that chooses me.
Right.
And it's very reflective of where I'm at in my life. So if I'm in a really good place, you're going to hear it in my songs. If I'm in a darker place, you're going to hear it in my songs. And yeah, that's the beauty of creating.
And where are you today?
I think I'm in a good place. And like, I mean, the pandemic definitely has hit some sour notes. And so I take it back. I would say I'm a good place. I'd say that it's a roller coaster. Some days are better. Some days are not. Pandemic days. Some days are not so good. But like, you know, when I write now, I ride the wave. And sometimes it's a good song, like a happy song. And sometimes it's just like me venting. And I think the beauty of where I'm at in my career now is like, I don't have to release every single song. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just make songs for me. Like, I just go record and have fun, and like, they just stay on my hard drive, or I just listen to them over and over, but it's just for me. And I'm happy that I've gone to the point where I know the distinction of like, this is something I want to release, and this is something that's just for me.
That's interesting that you say that, because we find that like popular artists who have been around for a while, and also artists from back in the day, like I'm thinking of like Tupac especially,
yeah.
who was known to be like a workaholic, and he would be in the studio, and I believe that after his death, after his murder, we'll say he had 3 or 4 albums that were released after posthumously. And so yeah. So I my question to you is, have you ever and I as a poet, this has happened to me, have you ever like written something, produced it, and just put it down because at that time it didn't really resonate, or you're just like, you felt it enough to produce it, but you didn't feel it enough to release it, and then you go back in your archives and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Do you have any of your pieces that you had that kind of experience with, and you're like, okay, maybe it's time now?
Yeah, there's so many songs I've done that. So many songs I have right now that like that I would work on, and then I'd listen to it and go like, okay, this is cool. And then I was like, I'll walk away from you. I don't need to revisit you anytime soon. And then I'll come back to like 2 years later, and I'll listen to it, and I'll just go like, oh man, like, how did I do that? That is sick. But at that point, I'll be in a newer headspace, so like, I'll know what I want to add to it then. So it's like knowing as an artist, knowing when to walk away from something, and know that you may come back to it, or you may not come back to it, is such a powerful thing, because like that release of just knowing like I don't have to think about this right now is really great, because then you don't because like I know a lot of artists that they'll go through what they consider writer's block, and then they'll try to just like push through the wall instead of listening to their body and their mind, which is just saying like, hey, you need to walk away from this right now. It might never be something that'll come to fruition, but if that time comes, you'll know. But allow my mind to like ease away and come back stronger. So like I feel like when I come back to things and my mind is ready, it's that much better.
I think sometimes there's sort of that force, like there's a force of we need to create something to make money or to satisfy a certain ends. And then the other force where it's like, you know, no, music is something that I enjoy, that I have fun with. When it comes to me, it comes to me and it's beautiful. So there's always that duality as being an artist and then also trying to make money from being an artist. Do you ever find yourself in the that tug of war between the two?
I think I'm lucky in the sense that as an artist, like music is my number one passion, but like I love to branch out and do different things. So like in the last 3 years, I've watched 4 years now, I've gotten into acting. And filmmaking. So like when my music brain is just going like, no, like I can just go focus on the other stuff. And like, it never feels like I stopped the momentum because like I said, I brought all parts of me together. So if I'm working on music or I'm working on film or I'm working on something scientific or whatever the case is, it's all just building towards this greater thing, which is the Steven. And it's all just pushing that thing forward. And so sometimes like, you know, going to work on that thing gives this part of my brain a little break. But then I'm still moving and then I'm doing something and then I come back to the other thing, I feel refreshed. And sometimes having worked on something different will give me new insight that I can use now when I'm working back on that thing. So yeah, I'm lucky in a sense that I don't have to really stress about the money / creative, dichotomy. I can navigate because I don't just do one thing.
Right. So tell us a little bit more about your venture into acting.
Yeah.
Because it started off, again, like, I've been around. I am not here fully, but I've been around. So I saw, like, there were short films. And they were very comedy-oriented, if I'm not mistaken, in the beginning. And then they started to get a bit more action-oriented and more dramatically-oriented. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like, so my acting started, to be honest, when Vine was like what, years ago now. Like when I first popped up, I would start making these like little funny skits, and I my humor is very dry. Like I love sarcasm; that's my thing. So I like to make sarcastic humor. So I would make these little skits, and they were just like sarcastic, and they'll just be like me talking to another version of myself, and that's how that kind of just started, is me playing around and putting that out. And the more I did it, the more people would tell me, like, you know, you're actually kind of good at this thing. You know, you should pursue it. And I would be like, yeah, this is just a fun thing. But, like, with everything I do, the more I do it, the more I'm just like, I need to fine-tune it and make it better and do this and do that. And, like, over time, I realized, you know what, this is actually something I'm pretty good at. I should pursue it. So I put together a demo reel, and I sent it off to bunch of, you know, acting agents in Montreal, and I just said like, hey, we'll see what happens. And I got callbacks, and so I met up with this agency called Glen Talent. It really resonated with them, and that's it. And they started sending me auditions, and the first audition they sent me, the first ever they sent me, was for a role in the show The Bold Type, which is on Netflix now. And they sent it to me, and I went to it. I was like super nervous. I was just like, I've never done an audition before. I did it and I booked it. And then I just knew like, okay, like this is it. This is something. And so the next thing you knew, I was on set. I was part of a super massive show, and people, you know, recognized me all around the world for that role. And I'm just like, this is such a blessing. So yeah, that's how it began.
Say the name.
So you
of
never
the show,
did right? any acting classes, acting school, any of that stuff?
Nothing. Nothing. I think as a musician, we're so used to drawing from emotion and experience that in many ways we're kind of, every time we record a song, we're it's us, but also we're acting in a sense, like we're putting on a show. So
Yeah.
So yeah, we're performing. So when you know, someone tells me like, oh no, your character is like this, he's been through this, I'm just like, oh, don't worry, I got you, because I know how to pull emotions. And so I think it's just a natural progression for a lot of musicians.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's the first time I've heard that, but it's true, because in a performance you do call out those emotions that you're not necessarily feeling at that time that you were feeling at the time you created the track.
Yeah, exactly.
So what were some of the challenges that you experienced, if any?
In acting?
Yeah, transitioning from the musical to like professionally acting.
Yeah, I think any of the challenges I experienced were just in my head. They were just my fears. Like, I was afraid that I would walk into the acting scene in Montreal or in general, and then, you know, the other actors would just be like, oh, here comes a musician thinking he can do what we do, you know? And I was so worried that people were going to look at me like that. And then I got into the industry, and they were just so receptive and just so happy to have me there. So yeah, it was just all in my head. So yeah, that's the only times I ever felt like there was a challenge. It was just me being afraid of a future that was not going to happen.
So basically a bit of imposter syndrome.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
Right. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Stephen Voice, who is a Canadian Nigerian born artist, who started off in electrical engineering as a way of reconnecting and staying connected with his mom, transitioned into music, and then, you know, like most big artists out there, transitioned into acting. Has a natural fear of spiders, terrified of spiders, loves, obsessed with Batman, and just wants people to live their dream out. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
You're running through this life when you should slow it down. Slow down, baby. You're talking way too loud when you should make a sound.
your life for? What you said you would die for? Turn up the volume, let them hear what you said. What's the name that they call you? Put it back in the face. They want you to doubt it. With that seed of deception, are you ready to fight for what you said you would fight for? To lay down your life for what you said you would die for? Don't you be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Then you let up. Don't you stop, don't you let up. Stand for the people. Let them know that you're equal. Tell them all that I see you. Be the one in the sequel. They want you to doubt it. With that seed of deception. But you're ready to fight for what you said you would fight for. To lay down your life for what you said you would die for. You stripped away my dignity. No, I can't take it, I won't take it. You stripped away our dignity. No, we won't take it, we won't take it. Don't you be afraid.
We're back. It is Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And we have our guest this week, Stephen Voice, who is a Canadian-Nigerian-born artist who has an awesome trajectory. I am loving doing our shows during this pandemic. The pandemic, as I like to say. Because it allows us to really dive deep into the lives of our guests and our artists that we bring on. Renee, you had a question that before.
Yes, I was just curious if Stephen incorporates his Nigerian roots within his music.
Yes, that's a really good question. So I've there's two songs I've recorded that are wholeheartedly pulling from my Nigerian roots. They haven't come out yet, but I'm excited for them to come out. But I actually want to collaborate more with artists from Nigeria, but from Nigeria, and reconnect, like, in a way, like, kind of bring the music home, so to speak. The funny thing is, like, I have, a lot of, Nigerian artists that are, on the come up in Nigeria right now. Will reach out to me and they'll say, like, how come, like, you're you have this sound is more Western versus, like, doing more Nigerian stuff? And I always tell them, like, I grew up, when I was a kid in Nigeria, Michael Jackson was booming in Nigeria. So while you call it Western, for me, I'm like, I'm just being nice myself. Like, I grew up in Nigeria being influenced by Michael Jackson. So it's never been about being, more Western or more Nigerian.
It was just...
Yeah.
It was just what was going on at the time.
Yeah, and for me, at the time where I was exposed to in Nigeria was Michael Jackson. So, like, So yeah, but like I want to go, I want to do the, you know, the traditional music. I want to bring my style into that and also learn from that style and kind of incorporate that more into my own style. So like I think that'd be really cool. And I think that's the beauty of creativity, is that there's no plateau. You never get to a point where you feel like you've done everything. Like I have a lot more to learn, and I can't wait to just learn all the different things.
And
who would you like to work with out of Nigeria?
WizKid is one I want to work with. I want to work with him. There's a bunch of others, right? There's so many now in Nigeria that have blown up, and I want to work with. There's actually one. There's a Nigerian who I think he grew up in Toronto. I forget his name right now. Dax. He's in LA now, so he's a really great rapper. There's also another artist by the name of Toby, and I forget his last name. He's really, really amazing. So like, yeah, there's a bunch of Nigerian artists right now that are just making moves, and it makes me so proud to be like, yeah, like we out here, we doing things.
I particularly have been connecting with. I find it amazing because I've been really connecting with Nigerian music over the past, yeah. I would say we're 2021 now. So over the past 6 years or so, Afrobeats came in. My South African coworker at the time I was at Black Theater Workshop introduced me to Komorago, a South African song. And then through that, I just kept on listening on YouTube. What I love about YouTube is like the algorithm, right? So if you listen to a particular song, it suggests more similar songs. And then I started hearing Davido and Tiwa Savage and Rotimi, and all of those artists started just coming into my feed. And at first I was just enjoying the music just for enjoyment's sake, but then I started actively listening to it. And last year during the pandemic, I decided I want to take a DNA ancestry kit.
Oh, okay.
And that DNA ancestry kit basically said, Kim, you're this white, 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 and then 40% Nigerian. And I was like, oh my god, dude.
Hey! My brother, you have found yourself.
My brother!
Hey!
And like, in terms of percentages, I'm like so horrified to say this, it was like 51% European.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god. But the majority was 40% Nigerian. Like 40% Nigerian is like a block of Nigeria. Yeah. And I was like, I find it amazing how, you know, deeply certain things resonated with me. Niedi Okorofor is a Nigerian author. And when I read her books, and I read her books before I found out that I was part Nigerian, they resonated with me like on a core level, and the music just grabbed me. And some people be like, "Oh, you just love music," but I'm like, "No, Niger music,
music, it's in your blood, man."
And I wonder, like. Okay, so you want to get back to connecting to your musically with that. But what about the culture of Nigeria? How does that influence you in terms of the way that you move in society? Like, how do you draw on your Nigerian roots as an artist, as an African-born artist?
I think just from the way I was raised, and just like I lived in Nigeria for actually a big chunk of my life. So like we call it high school. There we call it secondary school.
Yes.
So I did secondary school in Nigeria. And like when I was a kid and when I was a teenager in Nigeria and we were going to school, it's not like here where like here education, like your teachers come to class. That happens here. And when I was in Nigeria, the teachers weren't paid enough. So they had to supplement their jobs with other things. So most of the times we'd go to school and the teachers wouldn't even show up. Like they wouldn't even show up. But like at the end of the year or the end of the semester, we still had to take our exams. So like we knew that like we weren't going to be taught. So we had to teach ourselves. So we took it on ourselves to proactively, you know, learn and study. And when exams came, we got our A's. like we like outshined so much because like we knew that no one was going to do it for us. We had to do it for ourselves. So when I came here in like the last year or so of high school, I remember
the teacher just showed up every day.
Yeah,
it was a different vibe.
I was like, what is happening? And I just remember like I was
why so are you up. Here?
Why are you here? And I looked at all the resources that were available to students, and like I just saw so many students not taking advantage. It's almost like they had it, so they didn't, like, it wasn't important, like, because it was always there, so it wasn't something that was like, oh my gosh. But for me, it was just, it really was like, I have all this and I can take advantage, and I can, like, oh, I can go to the library? Shit! You know, you cut that, actually? Can you say that?
That's fine.
Can we say that?
Community radio, that's fine.
Believe it! I can retake it if you want me to.
No, it's good.
Yeah, okay, so I can go to the library and I could read and explore these different kinds of books. And so the love to learn and the passion to like always want to be better or to strive or to be proactive has been a part of me in all aspects of my life. Like, I don't wait for opportunities. Like, I know that opportunities may not always come to me, so I'm going to find them. So when I got into music, and you know, I was trying to do all these things, like reach out to record labels, and record labels were shutting the doors on me, going like, oh no, we don't need you. I didn't go like, oh, that's the end of the road. I just said like, okay, well, if you don't want me, I'm gonna go make my own thing, and then one day you're gonna come to me and be like, can I come into your house? And I'll say, actually, you know what, I don't hold grudges, of course. So like,
right,
so like that love